music ministry is coming to the platform, I'd just like to remind you of a vision that God gave some time ago. And I feel that it will be a great encouragement to your hearts, because I know that the enemy would like to cause us to forget some of these visions that God has given us, so that we cannot hold them in our hearts and begin to expect that thing from the Lord. And this vision was given before Don ever received his singing angel, or before we saw the manifestation of that angel through him. And this was when we were beginning to enter into this singing in the Spirit. And God gave a vision, and I saw how that the Lord had dispatched a singing angel to each one of us. And I saw those angels standing there beside us, desiring to manifest themselves through us, but we were too busy doing our own thing. And we were too busy doing it in the flesh, you know, because we were relying on our own talents and our own abilities to sing, and listening to the person next to us, and then starting to sing in the Spirit. And these angels were frustrated because we would not yield to them and let them manifest themselves through us and just be locked into God so that they could just begin to minister through us. Well, since that time, many of us have experienced a difference between us trying to do it and just yielding to the Lord and getting locked into Jesus and just letting that angel minister through us. And oh, it is so glorious. And I think that this is what we've been calling phase number two. Well, it's so thrilling when there's a number of us that move in this area and those angels are manifesting themselves through us, and the beautiful melodies, all that fit and synchronize together, are coming forth. But I want to encourage you that each one of you have been issued an angel, because the Lord wants to do something far greater in us yet than we have experienced in this singing in the Spirit. And I also would like to remind you that the vision and experience that God gave 2.5 years ago, before this move of the Spirit of God began to happen, that we have still not entered into the fullness of that. But we've got a ways to go yet. We've still not received everything that God has for us. There are many, many more steps yet, many, many more things to come into. But oh, let's be faithful to get in a place where God can continue to bring us into all those wonderful experiences in Him. Hallelujah.
And you know, this may answer also a number of things that we didn't understand when they were happening. But I remember at one of our elders' retreats about 3 years ago, I believe. And as I was lying on the floor, and a number of ladies were around ministering to me, and men around them, I saw them, as they were singing, and they had hands laid upon me, I felt myself being buoyed up as to heaven. And I sensed, and I testified this way, and it seemed to me as though each one of them was an angel. And each one of them was an angel, and they were lifting me. And I didn't know why that seemed that way, but I just testified it with the way it was. And I now believe, that God had dispatched angels to them, through the angels, through the intercessors, He was using them. And God was allowing me to see what was behind that. That they themselves, by themselves, can't lift me up in the Spirit. But He was using the angels to be lifting them through their singing and through their ministering to me. And then in that same time, a number felt very strongly impressed that these men were around, were like warrior angels, standing like in the gap. And these others are singing angels. And it seemed a little strange to hear that. Of course, the natural mind begins to wonder if there's a little bit of figment of imagination and men being used this, you know, and the ladies just wanting that. But, you know, there's demonic pressures against us. And I now believe that by the Spirit they did sense what was really happening, that God was causing them, these royal angels and these men, to be holding back these forces, and these others who were there to be lifting. And once you begin to understand how much God is using these ministering spirits, who are always ministering to us, it's like demons are always coming, trying to affect God's people. You recognize that we're living in a world, we are spirits as well as body and soul, and we're living in a world of spiritual conflict, a spiritual warfare, and they're ministering to us in many ways, and it begins to be clear. God is clearing up what's happening in the spiritual realm to his people. It's not fanaticism. It's reality. It's just understanding what was hitherto just kind of put on a shelf and was vague and not so easily understood. And I believe God is just making it clearer to us. Let's let the angels be pleased today. You know, even in the scripture, it talks about even women wearing long hair and men not and so forth. It talks about because of the angels. All the commentators scratch their head over that, you know. I mean, what does that mean, because of the angels? What angels got to do with it, you know? See, because you haven't been aware that angels have been present. But it's got to mean something, and it's really got to mean what it says. Well, I think we're going to learn more and more about this as time goes on.
Just one more real encouragement to you, that those angels have just been to heaven. They know all about what the throne of God is like, what heavens is like. They're completely familiar. They know just how to act in God's presence. So if you just let them react through you, they've been there. They're experienced at it. So don't be afraid to yield. Hallelujah.
And just because the doctor can diagnose it as a disease does not mean that a demon didn't give it to you as one of his counterattacks. And just because it can be treated by medicine doesn't mean that the demon is not involved and did not give it to you. You must not just say, oh, I got a disease. You need to also recognize that the demons are ones that give these things, and that we can come against them from a demonic standpoint as well as to the Lord for healing. And we should come against those things. We remember when Jesus rebuked the dumb spirit, the man could heal. When the dumb spirit was cast out, the man could heal. The doctor would say, oh, you got a hearing problem. And he might even say there's a blockage in the inner ear. Or whatever it was. Whatever they do to block it. But Jesus cast the spirit out and the man could heal. And I'm concerned because I know the devil is counterattacking. And there was a situation where I was getting a lot of attack in certain areas. And, you know, we think, well, maybe it's because of this, and maybe it's because of that, and maybe it's because of this. And one morning the Lord revealed to me why. And it wasn't because I wasn't really entering in as I should. It wasn't really because I did this or didn't do this or whatever. But he let me know the reason was because of what I did do. And what I did do was I began to practice in faith, superimposing myself on the Lord and letting his love flow, and begin to practice it and visualize myself on those positions. And because I was doing that and I was gaining ground, the Lord showed me that the devil became very afraid, and he dispatched immediately a bunch of demons to me with orders, you nail him. You nail him. If he gets by with this, he is changing, and as he is yielding to the Lord and showing the love of God, next thing you know, they're going to have all kinds of people out here affected because God gave him a vision. And next thing you know, the barriers will be broken down and all of our works are going to be destroyed and things are going to begin happening. And you've got orders and you better not disobey. And I begin getting an onslaught against me, which is one reason I'm saying, pray for me. And it's not just that, well, he's looking good up there. He's speaking faith. Everything seems to be good. Why pray for him? There was an onslaught. And the reason for it wasn't that I was a bad boy, lacked faith, sloppy, and didn't enter in, all the rest of things we can imagine. It was only that we were doing something right. You know, Christians are so confused. They think oftentimes that, well, what am I doing wrong? Things are going badly. And I say, well, Brother Paul must have really missed it. He was always having attacks. People were beating him up, beating him, stoning him, shipwreck. And being a pair of robbers, padding around the house half the night praying, as the scripture says, worries and fears of all sorts coming upon him, distresses, and he had in jail, and rest. He had all kinds of problems. Where did he fail? They came against him because he was moving for God, and there was a threat to them. And the devil will always tell you, the reason I'm on you is just because of this. Don't believe him. They are afraid you're moving in God, and they give you a counterattack. And when they do, we must come against them on the basis of this in faith and say, no, you don't. Just like you do when you pray for somebody for deliverance, you say, no, you don't. And it's so easy to call up the local doctor. My friend, if you need him, you need him. But there's a great physician available. There's a deliverer available. We have power over the enemy. And we can come against those things, and when you do, those powers are broken. I can give you a testimony just real quickly to show you what the devil does. A long time ago, he began waking me up. A long time ago, about 3:18 every morning, just like clockwork at the same time. And I was so nervous, and I could hardly stand it, and I was just itchy, all over. I was itchy. And I said, well, stress. Well, it probably was, but it was from this demon. I said, stress. And as I prayed about it, continued to pray and so forth, the itching stopped. But he woke me up and I felt nervous. Just nervous. I was so nervous, I could not hold still 20 seconds. I mean, maybe 10 seconds even. My wife said, honey, hold still. You know, just like this, see? I wake her up every morning. I couldn't lay over here. I was nervous. Couldn't lay this way. I was nervous. Couldn't lay this way. I was nervous. Couldn't lay this way. I was nervous. And I felt hungry because my stomach was still. And I get up and I go in and get something to eat and come back. And pretty soon, I thought it was lack of protein. And so one night, particularly, I got a bit late. I was taking a lot of protein. And I said, a lot of protein, 3:18, boom, there I was. I said, no, that's not lack of protein. And so, it's because, you know, I need to empty the bladder, see. So maybe that was just a weak bladder problem. So every night, you know, up at 3:18, emptying the bladder. But then I slept through a few nights and said, no, that can't be it. Praying the Lord, asking for help, and I'm sleeping through, so that can't be it. And then I've been waking up at 3:18 with him trying to take the breath out of me. He just go, like this, and I thought my breath was right out of me and just started me, wake me right up. And I knew that was demonic. And I came against that in the name of Jesus. And pretty soon that stopped. Then he began waking up at 3:18 with a demon, strong demon force right there. You could feel it right there in a stark field, just a dead sleep. And I rebuked the thing, turn over and go right to sleep. And I kept rebuking that thing, and pretty soon that quit. And then pretty soon I was waking up, 3:18, and with these dreams. And dreams began to come into my mind. And as soon as these dreams came in of a certain nature, these dreams came in, and I would immediately wake me up because the nature of the dream, and they were not of me, and they were not right dreams, they were not of me. They woke me up, and I rebuked that thing, turn around, go right back to sleep. And after a number of times, that thing quit, and then I began to be woke up at the same time, and this time, it was a different kind of dream. And I'd be rebuking that, go right back to sleep, and pretty soon that stopped, and then I began waking up with nothing. Now you see, the devil is trying every trick in the book. Try this, try this, try this, try this, try this, try this. One morning I woke up and it was 3:17. But there was something that was building in my mind that was just a little bit more and I would have been woken up at 3:18, right on the target. He's right there, same time every day. And then I began wondering, you know, what's happening here? See? But as we're coming against these things, we're getting release from each one at a time. He's running out of options. He's running out of things to do, see? And it's so easy to decide, well, it's just this, it's just this, it's just this. And the devil has had so many opportunities because we just think, well, it's just this. We better wake up and find out we're under demonic attack. And we need to come against that thing with authority. Now, when I used to wake up, I was awake for hours. I could not get back to sleep. So I was taking sleeping tablets to get back to sleep. Well, finally, when I quit doing that, as I testified, and just dumped the medicine away, then I've been sleeping. Interesting. When I threw away the sleeping tablets, I began sleeping without them. And I go right back to sleep. I know people that have taken pain tablets to conquer pain, and when they quit taking pain tablets, they didn't have any more pain. That spirit is forcing us. But we better wake up to what's happening. Every time you get attacked, instead of laying around and, you know, taking off work and getting underneath the covers and just laying there and saying, I'm sick. And what is it, doc? We need to come against that thing in the spirit and say, no, you don't. In the name of Jesus, I have authority over you. I will not allow this. He's warned us of these severe counterattacks. When we're moving in these areas, we need to just wake up and realize this is what's happening. So take this on this basis and attack them, and you can get much deliverance. And sometimes they're not gone immediately. Just keep at it, keep at it. That's one reason for this testimony. They didn't all go immediately. And then he began giving me mind battles. Just constantly. And I kept at him. We had about 5 times we rebuked it. Different times. Then he left. Wasn't back anymore. We just need to recognize we've got victory in the name of Jesus. I should explain that about 3 days ago, I was prayed for again, concerning the Spirit had waking me up, and I wasn't really too worried about this time because, one, I was waking up with no manifestations now, and I was waking and going right back to sleep. So it wasn't really much of a problem, but they prayed for me anyway, and then about 3 days ago, I woke up, my head was the other way from the clock, and all of a sudden I realized that I had slept longer than that. Although oftentimes, you know, you think you're late and you look up the clock and it's 1 o'clock or something. But I just knew. There was something inside me that said, I know. Even though I can't see the clock, I know. And then after a while, I turned over and it was 5:30. And I said, praise the Lord, he missed me tonight. The next day, it was maybe 6:30 or something. And since that time, I have not been waking up at that time. And something else, when the Lord showed me that I was getting these attacks because of this, I immediately began to renew visualizing again myself in that place and practicing this. And I've asked you to pray for me, and I know you've increased your prayer for me. How many have increased prayer for me all over the assembly? And I have been coming up and up and up. I've been waking up feeling like I feel happy. You know, I feel good inside, you know. In the daytime, the thoughts come to my mind, I feel good, you know. And in the evening, you know, I'm not 25 years old anymore. I'm, you know, 30, you know, 29, you know. And, I'm 31, okay. Would you believe 40? And I feel good, you know. I feel good like I'm young. I feel good. God is doing things. He's building me up. Praise the name of the Lord.
I just like off, you know.
I've heard several people give that same testimony. They went to pray against that spirit, that princely spirit, that he would intimidate them and say, who do you think you are? You can't come against me. I challenge you to come against me. Things like this. In fact, the other day, Bob Goss was praying and the spirit came against him, and it was a very powerful spirit, and he said, I challenge you. He said, I challenge you. It came out of this person's mouth. I challenge you to stand alone with me and challenge me. And he said, of course, I didn't do it. You know, we're not up here to try to be challenging them on those kind of bases. Although there are places when they do challenge you, you stand right there in the name of Jesus. But he was trying to pick a fight on this basis, and he wanted him to do it alone, just between you and me, step outside type of thing, you know. And see, these things try to intimidate us. But these people have been coming against that spirit, and they're saying, the ones that are smart, they say, you can't come against me, I'm a princely spirit. And they're coming and saying, I come in the name of Jesus. He's defeated you in Calvary. You're nothing in compared with him. I don't come in my own name or my own strength. I come with the power of attorney of his name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. And they're getting results. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love Jesus. And Jesus loves me. Some people don't believe that, but I believe that. Hallelujah. Our wonderful, precious Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. You're lifting us higher and higher in thee. Thank you for your revelations and truth. And I pray, Lord, that you might open the minds of your people to receive all the truth that you have for them. I come against these spirits that would hinder God's people from believing. You spirits of unbelief, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You spirits of intellectual pride, I rebuke you. You spirits of skepticism, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You spirits of tradition, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Leave them alone. I command you to leave them alone. We bind your power and influence in the name of Jesus. Lord, send angels to them to minister, and, oh Lord, to fight back the enemy and cause them to understand these wonderful truths that they might walk in them and be free in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing with the message that I started this morning in Sunday school, Thinking Straight Concerning Spiritual Operations, I continue. I have a report from one of our deliverance leaders, Bob Goss, who writes in part, "On Thursday night, I heard the first instance of a demon speaking in tongues. We were praying for a certain lady, and we were really making progress when she began to speak in tongues. It sounded totally different from her prayer language and had a really funny quality to the sound of it." I think he means strange, unusual. "I finally figured out what was going on and commanded it to stop. It didn't, so we kept praying. This lady, I won't mention her name, suddenly commanded it to stop praying to Satan. She said, commanded the spirit, stop praying to Satan. And it objected rather strenuously. She kept it from doing that for most part after that, but it was able a few times. Finally, it stopped and began to refuse to come out in English. We were getting the victory there, but this was certainly an unusual occurrence. Now, there are those who've got a theory, and you know experience is worth 1,000 theories. There are those who've got theories that if you can speak in tongues, the devil can't be working in you, he can't speak through you in other tongues, etc., 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 but they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, he can, just like if he can speak through, just like the people had the theory that a spirit can't speak out of a believer. Well, somebody should have told Peter that, because the devil was speaking to him, and he was a believer. And so they got these theories. But this spirit began to speak out in other tongues. We had a case over in Greece. We were ministering there not too long ago. When this spirit speaking out, it spoke in Greek and English. They have no problem that way. And it was speaking some of the time in Greek and some of the time in English. And this fella, I see that the congregation was Greek and we were English. Now, I remember a case clear back in the Fidian basement. Calvin, Mary probably remember this. At least remember hearing of it. And this was a case I've told about a number of times where, in this particular case, was a time when there was a person outside who had a problem, and they brought a person who'd been on drugs and were real demonized to this meeting. And the time my father was preaching, and he was having a terrible time, he was having a hard time keeping his continuity. And we went out there, and this girl admitted openly that she was praying in tongues. She was not a believer. She was not a believer. She was a hippie into the occult and on drugs. And she was praying in tongues to the devil to hinder my father from preaching. She was consciously praying to him, and she's speaking in other tongues to the devil. And she said, "I felt like a giant stepping on you Christians," while she was doing this. There's a lot of strange things that going on in the spirit, some things that a lot of people don't understand. There was a case I know back in Old Pentecost. Well, this person had been demonized and he was contesting the Lord. And that person was drugged by an unseen force all the way across the platform. It was a old wooden platform. He was getting splinters in him. And he was drugged when nobody was holding on to him all the way across the platform by this demon force. And he got up full of splinters. And he had put himself in a place, you know, to contest the Lord in these matters. Just like the other instance I told you about, I've read this now in several different accounts. There were 5,000 witnesses there that night. I have a book that has the account on the Latter Rain Revival by Raymond Hoekstra, who tells the account. I've read about it in Gordon Lindsay's books. I've read about it in other accounts. There's time when Wes Tompkins, professional wrestler who had become a Pentecostal preacher, who got filled with pride and became demonized, when he came up and was contesting William Branham that night, and he was hissing like a snake, and he had his hand back, and he was challenging him and the Lord. And William Branham said, because, and it was a very moving, powerful scene. Ministers fled the platform, some of them with collars on backwards, and some others had come to look. The policeman was standing back, a little bit of afraid, but knowing they was obligated to come in. You know, that man came down the aisle like he was weighing about 65 pounds. I mean, he was just a going like this. He was light. He was a big. He was just going like this. He was all swollen up like a frog. And he stood up there hissing like a snake. And little William Branham didn't look very big alongside of him. And his arm was drawn, and he was hissing in a very demonic presence. And he said, because you have Satan or demon or whatever he said, I can't remember. But he said, because you have challenged the Lord this night, you shall bow before him. And I saw that man and 5,000 others, wham, hard, just like somebody slammed him to the mat. I mean, he took a real judo fall right on his flat stomach and his face, right on his stomach and his face, flat. And he slammed hard, just wham, he just hit the floor hard. And he laid there like a dead man for quite some time. And, see, an unseen force, God, was coming against this unseen force in this man. We're in a real spiritual battle. He tells in this letter, he says, the demon, this is another case, I'm starting in the middle of it, the demon got somewhat violent, and he said, I hate Don Barnett. I wish he'd keep his big mouth shut. Why doesn't he just shut up? He's going to ruin everything. Amen. Then he goes on and says, in relation to her background, Methodist pastor father, I can see why that demon isn't too thrilled about your preaching. It makes it difficult for demons of liberalism and humanism when you constantly preach against them. I think the biggest thing in bringing her victory is her knowledge of the Word. It's the one thing these demons don't like because it gives her a foundation. In some people, it's just the love of God, but I can see how the Word has really kept her. See, when you come and when the Word's over, they really, see, this Word has effect on them. We're in a place where with truth and error are in a contest with spirits behind it. We're in a real world of spirits. We have to understand, if we're not in the dark ages anymore, and if we're going to believe in the atomic world, you know, with subatomic particles and neutrons and mesons and protons and all gluons and all the rest of these things that they have, you know, and quarks and all the rest in this world, and going to believe in these whirling universes that are invisible, and all these things, we are going to have to recognize we're living in an unseen world of energy with spirits, and Jesus believed in them, and I believe in them. All the skeptics, no matter what, they say. These people, you cannot be judging these things after the seeing of the eye. You're going to have to recognize that God is exposing these things more and more as we come to the time of the end, and we need to be open to this because you're seeing the results of it. You know, there are theories, there are cult groups out here that got all kinds of theories, but they don't produce good fruit. And Jesus said that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit, and you know, if you're producing good fruit, then you know that God's with you. Now, false doctrine and imagination doesn't heal people instantly in the name of Jesus Christ, you see. House divided against itself cannot stand, Jesus said. I had a vision, and I had three of them in an elders' meeting, and one of them is quite, I feel, important. I'm going to be explaining tonight, the Lord willing. But another one I mentioned Friday is I just saw all of a sudden the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I mean, I saw us at a place in the future where the Spirit of revelation was on God's people until it was just flowing and flowing and flowing. And it wasn't, and I stressed this, the point was it wasn't that this person had a gift and then the gift was exercised to this person and then that person exercised a gift and then they exercised a gift. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about each one exercising and exercising and just flowing, just constantly exercising the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit was upon him and it wasn't quit and quit. And, you know, like the Scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them prophesying, you know, and the Spirit just kept on prophesying through them. And so, but just going on, they were prophesying, and they just kept on, with Spirit of Revelation here and here and here. And they were in that place where the contact from God to them was such, and the needs out there, that the Spirit was just flowing constantly. They just knew all the time, kept on all the time in the Spirit. Now the Bible says to seek earnestly the best gifts, and yet Paul told Timothy, lay hands suddenly upon no one. And so understanding that we just can't begin laying hands on everyone for gifts, And yet we ought to seek earnestly the best gifts. And there is a place to lay hands upon people. What we really need to be doing is coming to realize we have not followed the Lord in this area as we should. And we should all begin seeking the gifts of the Spirit, not for personal self-aggrandizement, not flippantly, but we need to really begin to seek this, and we need to say, Lord, I do not want a gift if it's going to hurt me, if I'm not ready for it. But I want to be brought into the right place, and I lay myself on the altar so that I can use the gift properly before the assembly without stumbling anyone because of my life, without being a hurt to myself. We need more power with God in the gifts of the Spirit. Because we ought to each have one or more gifts of the Spirit. They ought to be operating in us. We need to have the gifts operating. And we've got quite a number, but we need to have everybody moving in the Spirit with gifts operating. And there should be many gifts operating from many people. We need more power in prayer. You know that? We need, not too many really said amen to that, but we need more power in prayer. We really, really desperately do. Now, we have over 100 prayer meetings a week, I understand, if that's the right number, but we've got lots of people praying every night, and many praying every morning, and many praying all day, and praying around the clock. We've got lots of prayer right now, and that's wonderful. But we need power in prayer. Power in prayer. I passed a brother the other day, good brother, strong brother in the Lord, and he was praying for somebody for deliverance, and he was saying, come out now, yes, come out now, yes, come out now, come out. And I stopped and I said, brother, may I help you here? And he said, sure. He's a real big-hearted, open-minded, benevolent brother. Sure, he said. I said, don't passively attack those demons. Don't say, oh, come on, come on, come on out. They won't come out that way. I said, come against them actively. Take authority over them. In the name of Jesus, I command you. You don't have a right. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Drive them out. Now, there's a lot of deliverance, a certain amount anyway, being practiced that is too passive. It's too weak. We need to drive it out. You see, you don't go up to a wild dog who's attacking your child and say, now stop it now, doggy. Now quit biting on her leg. You're making the blood run. Stop it. Now you go away. Go away. Go away now, doggy. Now you got her on the ground and you're chewing her still dress in your stomach. Now go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Doggy, go away. You don't do that. You attack that thing. We got to drive them out. We need righteous indignation to well up in us. But we need, when we pray, there should be power. You know, there's too much passive praying. Too much lazy praying, sleepy praying, partly believing praying, giving it a whirl pray, mechanical pray. We need good, powerful prayer. Where people rise up with faith, determination, active, and they begin to have boiling, fervent prayer. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we need those kind of prayers. And I admonish you, don't let the devil keep you down in the cellar with a weak, damp cellar prayer to God. The Lord is damp downhill. Wish I was there, Lord. Get me out of this cellar, Lord. Lord, my wife is not being good to me, Lord. We need to come in faith believing. We need to come with authority. We need power in prayer. In fact, it's been running through my mind lately, and I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we're going to do something about this. Besides me just preach about it. I don't know. We may take a few days off, maybe right after school's out, a little while, give a couple of weeks for vacation, and then we may go ahead and have a whole week of just prayer. and everybody who can make it, you know, from morning to night. And this prayer will not be for deliverance or anything else. It will just be praying that God will give us power in prayer. Power in prayer. And we may put a real emphasis until we begin, everyone begin reminding one another and taking the initiative to come up out of that. You know, many times, we try to believe and so forth, but there's finally a place where you make a decision, you know. There are a lot of things, you know, you're worrying about, but you finally make a decision and it's settled. We need to learn to make decisions that way. When we're down in that damp and we can't plan, we need to stop and say, well, wait a minute, what are you doing downhill? Get up off of your face, as it were, and begin to bombard the gates of heaven with supplication and begin sending your missiles against the gates of hell. And you rise up and say, just flip right over. And you're not going to say, oh, Lord, and this, you know, old, you know, it's the same old thing that never got anything for the last 30 years and constantly over draped over, you know, oh, Lord, forgive me for this and 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 all grown woe is me. And we need to stop and say, wait, I have victory in the name of Jesus. I am a son of God. I believe I have authority over the devil. He has tricked me. He's not going to trick me any longer. Lord, I know you love me and I love you. And now I feel it now. And now I begin to move in new realms of faith. Now I begin to move. And Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I come to you. Praise the Lord. I shall triumph in you. We need to begin to move into the positive realm because faith moves the hand of God, not doubt and despair move the hand of God. Too much prayer is not effectual prayer because it's given in lack of faith rather than with faith and in faith. We may also after that begin to take times and seasons out to pray for the gifts and pray that God will move us through this place so we can begin feeling led of the Lord to begin laying hands on people and begin distributing gifts to the assembly so that God may begin to mightily increase the gifts. You see, what's happening now in the Spirit, I think most of you agree who's been here a while, know, could not just happen without the messages of dying to self, deliverance, coming to the cross. You see, you just can't live a sloppy, in-the-world, Hollywood holiness life and then come in and say, Lord, give me the gifts and your love and revelation and glory and dance. That doesn't work that way. People who try it, people who want to live in the world with one leg and in the church with the other leg, and then they try to have the gifts and all that too, they end up with a lot of physical manifestations of flesh, wildfire, pretense, playing around, and it doesn't do anything to anybody really. Just a lot of jumping and hollering and shouting, it's empty. And it just drives good people away, thinking people. But there's something about the Spirit of the Lord that even skeptics know it's God. Something though that no matter who it is, they can see it and they cannot deny it. Like they said in the, you know, when the man was healed, they said, well, one thing we cannot deny, see. We're against it. We don't even believe in it, but we can't deny it. It's right there manifest. Now, many people in this assembly are walking in the Spirit. And that is, not typical of the Christian world, and it wasn't typical of them a few years ago. But they're walking in the Spirit. They're living in the Spirit. There are many people in this assembly that from morning to night, they're walking in the realm of the Spirit. They have a praise in their heart all the day long. They're worshiping Him all the day long. They're thanking Him all the day long. They're believing Him all the day long. They're coming against spirits. They're praising God. They got the victory. They're ministering. They're just spending day after day after day, week after week, and they're not getting worn out with it. It isn't like it's a drudgery. It's not a burden. It isn't like, oh, I rebuke you. Oh, I rebuke you. Yes, Jesus. See, all that striving in the flesh just wears you out completely. It's not that. It's a buoyancy. It's a love. They can't stop it. They just love it. They don't ever want to quit. It's just going on. And let me give you a piece of advice from experience and lots of observation. If you're in that place of moving with God, don't quit. It's easy for some people to sit back and say, well, I can just sit here. I got the glow on me. I just glow all night just sitting here. I just feel the love I got 3 weeks ago and it's still here. You're going to lose it that way. You have got to continue in it and keep it building and building and building. You just lose it. It'll be with you every day. And then one day you just find it gone. It's happened to me. It's happened to most of you. And we've got to keep in it. And it wasn't that we wasn't doing anything with it. But you've got to keep it going, brother. Don't ever quit. Once you're in that cherished position, you just keep right there and never quit. Paul also said, and I read it earlier today, we need to chase down love. like you're in a fox hunt. Chase it down. Get it right there by the nape of the neck and wear it. Now, the enemy will come and he'll counterattack you. But instead of being discouraged by counterattacks, let it encourage you. Say, aha, he's attacking me with new forces. That must mean he's really worried about me. He's added 7 more regiments against me. Well, I'll just pray for 12 more from the Lord. If that's what he wants is a battle, and he's bringing more from the netherworld, I'll bring more from the upper world. And I'm encouraged because he knows well, I'm a threat to him, so I'm going to be a bigger threat to him. Now, they'll make you feel different than that, of course. And you'll say, well, I just feel. Quit feeling that way. Quit feeling like the demon is feeling. Quit feeling negative. Well, I just think it's because, and I just, my friend, do not listen to that rationalizing spirit. You just rebuke it. We need to be very careful to try the spirits. Is this God's angel or is it the devil's angel that's coming to me in this hour? Could it be that it's not my own mind, but something that's coming in? Be careful. Always take that which is positive. See? You say, well, I don't know. Maybe it's neutral. Well, don't settle for neutral. Pray for positive. But we need to chase down love. Now, that means we need to practice it. Like when I saw that vision of myself being superimposed, I begin every day to practice that. I begin to visualize myself being confronted by various ones in various circumstances, and then visualize myself not worrying about it, not caring, being totally unruffled. The Lord knows, right in my heart. Let them think what they want. Doesn't make a bit of difference. You know, there's too much of this, you know, even in little children. It is too. It is not. It is too. It is not. It is too. It is not. It is too. See, there's this conflict. And the demons come to them too, you know. That's what's happening. They're having a demon manifestation back and forth. These spirits are in both of them. They're both yielding real fast. You know how some days they're sweet as angels and some days they act like the devil? Well, that's exactly what's happening. They're just yielding to one or the other. And we do this very same thing, and we need to recognize this and begin to practice just being calm. You know, I've had both cases. I've had cases where people confronted me in ways that in the flesh I would never take it. And I took it so magnanimously and graciously and lovingly and kindly and sweetly and godly. And there's other times the old flesh got up and there was a defensiveness back and a hurt and a push and a boom, boom, boom. And the truth of the matter is, neither one of them was just me. One was the demons coming up and I was giving in to them, and the other one was the angels from God and I was giving in to them. And we need to recognize we have a choice. And let's start exercising it properly. We need to zealously seek spiritual things. But we need to test the spirits if we are zealous for spirits. And then seek to abound in this. Don't be afraid to be praying for help from God. God's not stingy. He doesn't run out. He's got plenty. And there's plenty more where that came from. And he doesn't mind giving it and giving it and giving it and giving it. You only have to be in a right place. See, you can't be in a carnal place, wrong use, seeking to heap it upon your own lust. But if you're in the right place with God, he won't quit. He'll just keep on. He's not stingy. There isn't just so much in the pot. He'll just go on forever. He is plenty, and he wants to give us all a lot more than we've ever taken. Do you know that? He wants to give us more than we've ever taken. We're too stingy. You know, we're like a billionaire that says, you say to somebody, well, here, just, you know, how much do you want? Tell me how much you want. What's your check out? This guy's rich. Boy, how much does he mean? How much would you have in mind? Well, you tell me. Ooh, me tell him. What does that mean? Does that mean, does he mean $50? He means $500? $10,000? $1,000,000? I mean, what does he mean? Well, do you have any kind of a bracket, you know? No, just whatever you want. Well, your mind is racing. You're scared to say this. You don't want to settle for that. You don't know what to do. He said, well, you just tell me what have you put down here. You know. 1,000? Okay, 1,000, there you go. Oh, boy, I should have asked for 10,000. $10, we should have asked for $1 million, brother. Do you know Joe got $1 million?
He did?
Sure, he asked him for $1 million and it came to him. See? A lot of us are like that. We're so afraid to ask God, we're so stingy. Now, again, I'm talking about asking in His will, the Bible says. Well, what's His will? His will is for you to spiritually to have God's power and anointing and gifts and glory and presence superabounding in the Spirit. He's not talking about heaping all kinds of rewards on you now and material things, but spiritually move in God. Now, of course, if you say, well, Lord, make me an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teach with all the gifts of the Spirit, all miracles, all knowledge, everything. Boy, I'm really doing this, pastor. All this, see? But God would say, well, if you want all that, well, then begin putting yourself in a place so I can do all that in you. And I will. I mean, I don't mind making you an apostle. Just begin to being like Christ and telling the devil to shove off and do all these things, and I'll begin building you and take you up the staircase, see? He doesn't mind. I mean, the top is available for everybody if you want to climb it. Just lay your life down. Do what Jesus did. You want to be like Jesus? Do what He did. Lay your life down. Sell out. Don't fill men. Sky's the limit.